Let's turn this morning in our Bibles to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, towards the end of the New Testament, after the Gospels and after the Pauline epistles, you have 1 and 2 Peter. We're turning to 1 Peter, and it's chapter 5, and we'll read the whole chapter together. It's quite a short chapter, so let's read this chapter together. 1 Peter chapter 5. Reading from the first verse of this portion of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's read the Word of God from verse 1 of this chapter. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know that God will bless this reading of his own inspired and infallible word. But let's turn again, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. We've been thinking about the church, the subject of the church over recent days. And I indicated that we're thinking upon this subject because in the will of God, in the month of November, we hope to elect some new elders to the session of our church here in Coleraine. And it's, I'm sure, been quite some time since that has been done. So I felt it would be good just to lay a foundation so we know what direction we're going. And today we want to think and begin to think about what an elder is. And we trust the Lord will save us from just having something that sounds like a lecture, but the Lord will make it practical and the Spirit of God will speak, even as we consider this issue that I suppose maybe we feel isn't maybe as exciting as some other issues that we could think about, but nevertheless it is important, and we want to consider what the Bible teaches about this subject so you know how to vote and you know how to pray. And we know how the Lord is guiding us through the Word concerning the future of the leadership of the church here in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church. But let's just still our hearts, excuse me, and seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Loving Father and everlasting God, we pray now that thou wilt give to us wisdom and grace and power and the anointing of God the Holy Ghost. We realize, Father God, that the subject that we're considering today is one that is practical and one that the Word of God has much to say about. And Father God, we look to thee and we pray that thou wilt grant, O God, the Lord, the speaking voice of thy Spirit through the word right into our hearts and into our souls. We pray that, O God, even at this time, that as we consider this subject, that Lord, thou wilt even speak, Father, to us as thy people. Help us, Lord, to realize the type of people that we ought to be. We realize, O Lord, that as we think about elders and think about deacons and leadership in the church, we realize, O God, that we all have a responsibility. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt help us, Lord, to live lives that glorify and exalt and magnify thy Son. We pray these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now, I want to speak today about elders. There are chiefly two distinctions within the leadership of the church, elders, and then there are deacons as well. We'll come to look at deacons at a later date. But we want to spend some time considering the eldership of the church. And I want to draw your attention this morning to 1 Peter chapter number 5. You'll notice in verse 1, it immediately uses the word elders. And Peter is writing to these believers, and he says, the elders which are among you. And you'll notice again that it doesn't mention elder, but it speaks about elders. And so a local church, according to this verse as well, needs to have a plurality of elders. And he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, and then there's a comma. And then what Paul says for the rest of verse 1, we might say, is in parenthesis. It's in brackets because Paul is drawing attention just briefly to himself, indicating that he is also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So after that comma, after the word exhort, to the end of the first verse, you can in a sense leave that part of the verse out and still read verses 1 and 2 and it would make sense. In other words, the elders which are among you I exhort. And then going after the part in parenthesis into verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And it's interesting there, as we indicated last Lord's Day, and I said I would consider it again with you later, that the elder and the bishop in a church is the same office. We sometimes are led to believe that a bishop is a kind of man that oversees several churches. But whenever you read verse 1 and it uses the word elders, the word for elders there is the word presbyteros, from which we get Presbyterian in our English language. And then it says in verse 2 that the elders are to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. And the word oversight comes from the word episkopos, which is translated other times in Scripture as bishop. And so the Bible is using three different words to describe the same office to try and give us a bigger picture of what an elder is. The word elder, it denotes someone who has come to a place of maturity in the Christian life. It doesn't necessarily mean an old man, but it's speaking about the spiritual maturity and the spiritual stature that people have that are in authority. And then there is the word bishop. And that leads us to think about one who is a shepherd. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. Or, as it says in Hebrews, the bishop of our souls. Or the shepherd of our souls. And then the word oversight or overseer indicates that the elders have the oversight and are in government within the local church. And so the word of God is telling us here that the elder or the overseer and bishop is one and the same office. Now we're going to look, as I've said today, at the elders of the church, and I want to consider today and probably next Lord's Day as well, the role of the elder. We're moving on to the officers of the church, and I want to think today about the role of the elder. And you'll notice that there are three words that are used to describe what the elder is required to do within a local assembly. Verse 2, it says, feed the flock. And then it says, take the oversight. And then verse 3, be ensamples or examples to the flock. Now it tells us in verse 4, it draws our attention to the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd, and that of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word flock is used in verse 2, and it's also used in verse 3. And so what we're getting the picture of here is that the elder is to be one who is an under-shepherd, one who is to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd, and an elder within a local church, to a degree, is an under-shepherd. Now, if you turn back to the book of Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, Paul has established a church here in the city of Ephesus. He's ordained elders in Ephesus, being an apostle. He's the right to do that. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we have almost a parallel verse to the ones we're considering in 1 Peter chapter 5, because the Word of God never changes. And Paul is speaking to these elders, and he says to them in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." And it might say there, if you've got a reference Bible, concerning the word overseers, the little word bishops in the margin of your Bible, "to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." The Lord Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, is the chief shepherd. And you'll remember in John chapter 10 that the Savior said, "I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep." And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it's talking about the flock, and it describes the flock as the church of God, which God hath purchased with his own blood. And it's speaking about the deity of Christ, who laid down his life and shed his blood for his people, the church. And of course, it's mentioning there that the church, again, is like a flock. The same thing is seen not only in the New Testament, but the same thing is seen in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, where it mentions in verse 1, "Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them." And in this portion of Scripture, the word pastor and the word shepherd are used side by side to indicate that God has appointed people who on this earth are to lead and to guide and to be there for their Lord's flock or for the Lord's people. Now, the word for pastor in Jeremiah 23, verse 1, is really the same as the word shepherd, and it comes from the word pasture. It speaks about a man that leads a flock through the pasture. And so it is with an elder in a church. He is called to lead God's people and to guide them and to be there for them and to lead them through the pastures of this present world. And then the New Testament, of course, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, indicates that the pastor is a role within a local church. And the New Testament word for pastor is the same word for shepherd. And so an elder, to a degree, is a shepherd, one who has been given the oversight of God's people and is working underneath the chief shepherd and is to seek to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. In recent days, I've made an acquaintance with a Roman Catholic man. And he often, whenever he sees me, he says, "Hello, Your Reverence," and then he'll say, "How's the flock?" And so even the world recognizes that the role of an elder or a pastor is to lead and to be there for the flock of God. And so many times in Scripture, the Lord is given the title of the shepherd. Remember Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd." John chapter 10. The good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And the word know just describes how much the Lord is acquainted with us and how much the Lord loves us. I hear my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so whenever we read about the shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, we see a man who knows his sheep, who loves his sheep, who is devoted to his sheep. And if we are underneath as elders, the chief shepherd, then we have to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have said before, one word that could describe the Savior's ministry is the word compassion. You recall in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 36, how the Lord beheld the people. And the Bible says that he was moved with compassion because they were fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And so the Lord was moved with compassion. So I would suggest to you that an elder in a church, first and foremost, has to be a man who has a single eye to God's glory, who is always looking to the chief shepherd, but also an individual who has got compassion upon the people that God has called him to be an example to. As we have said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, three words that indicate the role of the shepherd or the role of the elder. The word feed, the word oversee, and the word ensample. And these words are laying down for us a pattern that the elder is to seek to imitate and a role that the elder is to seek to fulfill. He's to feed God's people, he's to oversee God's people, and then he's to be an ensample or a living example to God's people. So whenever people see the elder, they see a person that is really what a Christian should be. And I think it's worthy to point out that really all of God's people, if we're saved, should seek to be what an elder should be and seek to be filled with love and compassion for God's people. But I would suggest to you this morning that there are four ways in which these roles to feed, to oversee, and to be an example, three ways in which this pattern is to be fulfilled. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go over all four this morning, but I just maybe want to mention the first one. Verse number 2. Paul has already said, the elders which are among you, I exhort. This is what Paul's saying. If there's one thing, first and foremost, that I want the elders to do in the flock of God, he says in verse 2, it's to feed the flock. That's the most important thing. First and foremost, I believe that all Scripture is inspired, but I also believe the order in which the words appear in Scripture are inspired by the Spirit of God as well. And so we're told here that the elder is to be a person who must feed, nourish the flock of God. And the word that I would use here is the word disciple. An elder is a man who is called to disciple or to feed the flock. You say, well, why are you using the word disciple? Well, let's turn back in the Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28. The last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, before the Lord Jesus Christ left this scene of time and ascended into heaven, he left his disciples, his followers, with what has often been called the Great Commission. And it's recorded for us in verse number 19. After the Lord has said, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says to his followers, his disciples, the apostles, verse 19, Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Go ye therefore and teach. The word teach is something that the Lord left with his disciples and says, as you go into this world, I want you, first and foremost, to teach people. And the word for disciple in Scripture is the word mathetes. And the word teach is the word mathetuo. So a disciple is one who is taught, one who becomes a pupil. And so this verse of Scripture could rightly be translated, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." Because a disciple is one who is taught to follow and to find and to fulfill God's word in their lives. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't say to his disciples, "Go into all the world and make converts." That's part of it. But he said, "Go into all the world and make disciples." In other words, teach people and feed people. It's no coincidence that teaching and discipleship come first and foremost within the role of the elder. Now you maybe think I'm trying to indicate that therefore an elder needs to be a preacher. That's not necessarily the case. Although we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 that an elder should be apt to teach, able to teach. And the picture that is given there is that if a man is in authority in the church, he needs to be able to distinguish in his own mind and heart the difference between truth and error. And able to teach perhaps a young convert or a young Christian on a one-to-one basis. But it doesn't necessarily mean that all elders should be able to get up and preach a full-blooded and a full-blown sermon. Because I believe that the Word of God also teaches that even within the eldership there are teaching elders and there are also ruling elders. Let's just turn, while we're thinking about that, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've already been told in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 that the bishop should be apt to teach, able to teach. But then Paul sheds a little bit more light in this as we go down through the epistle. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5. And he says in verse 17, "Let the elders..." Again, you'll notice that the word there is in the plural. 1 Timothy 5, 17. "Let the elders that rule..." "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." So you can get what Paul is saying here to young Timothy. Let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor. And then he says, especially the elder that labors in word and in doctrine. And in verse 18 he says, "For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And so I feel that clearly in verse 17 of this chapter, Paul is saying there are elders that rule, but then in a sense within the eldership there's another role and there's another office, and that is the office of the elder that labors in the word and doctrine, the elder that is called to be a laborer amongst the people, and his role and his calling is to be a teacher. And it's a very real and distinct office, as it's indicated in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, that the Lord has given to the church pastors and teachers and evangelists. And this is why there is such emphasis put upon the Word of God, because yes, the elders need to be apt to teach. But even within the eldership, Paul is saying that there are those who are called primarily to labor in the Word and in the doctrine. And so you might say that the men in this church in the session that were here before I came are the ruling elders. And as your pastor, I'm called to be the teaching elder and to feed the flock of God and to disciple the flock of God, and as the word disciple means, to teach the flock of God. And that's why the word of God is described so often in Scripture as food. For example, the Word of God is described as being seed. The Word of God is described as being milk. The Word of God is described as being bread. The Word of God is described as being meat. And so Peter is telling the elders in his day in 1 Peter chapter 5, give to your flock the Word of God. Teach them what the Bible says. Teach them what the Lord said. and teach them to observe the commandments of the Lord. And if I'm called to feed the people, the only thing that I can feed you is the Word of God. Now, in these days in which we're living, there seems to be less desire than ever for people to be fed on the Word of God. If you go into any hospital and a person is unwell, so often that person will have lost their appetite. Doesn't really have much of an appetite for food, and it's a sign that the person is unwell. And whenever professing Christians have no desire for the Word within a church setting or within their own private homes, no desire to read the Word, either to themselves or to their families, to me it's evidence of sickness amongst the people of the Lord. You see, whenever a person is sick, generally speaking, the appetite is lost. And I believe, in a sense, this is judgment upon our nation, because there's no real desire for God's Word, no real desire to be fed upon the Word of God. It tells us in the book of Amos that this is something that the Lord will send upon His people as judgment. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. God says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Shall not find it. Now, I have met at different times, even on outreach, knocking doors, men who hold office in churches, who even deny the inspiration of the Bible itself. And so, generally speaking, they're not qualified to be an elder within a church. And the book of Amos tells us that there will come times that God will send judgment upon a nation, and the desire for God's Word, generally speaking, will depart. And the Word of God will no longer be held to the fore within the local assembly. 2 Timothy indicates the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, speaking of the last times, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And so whenever we're thinking of ordaining elders to the local church here in Coleraine, the first thing that you need to understand and think of is this. Is the individual that I'm thinking about, maybe not a man that gets up and preaches, but is he a man that believes the Word of God, stands four square upon the Word of God, and does he have a desire that God's people will be fed, taught, and made into living and real disciples? Feed the flock of God, or teach the flock of God, or disciple the flock of God. Some people frown, incidentally, at the one-man ministry. They think there's no calling in Scripture for a so-called one-man ministry. There's no such thing in the Word of God. But you'll notice, as we've read in 1 Timothy 5:17, that Paul speaks about those who labor in the Word. Those who labor in the Word. And then again, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, speaks about pastors that God has called. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "And he," speaking of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, "he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." So a pastor and a teacher, one and the same thing. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And so the Lord clearly has ordained full-time ministers within His congregation, a full-time teaching elder. And indeed, whenever you turn to the book of the Revelation, and you read in Revelation chapter 2, and you read in Revelation chapter 3 about the seven churches, each of those churches had what was called an angel. Revelation 2:1, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus." Verse 8, "The angel of the church at Smyrna. Verse 12, the angel at Pergamos. Verse 18, the angel at Thyatira. Chapter 3, verse 1, the angel at Sardis. Verse 7, the angel in Philadelphia. Verse 14, the angel in the church of the Laodiceans. And the word angel is the word for messenger. And so each church in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 3, had their own messenger, one who stood in that church to the fore, holding forth the word of life, seeking to bring the word of God to the people, God's messenger with the Lord's message. And so whenever we're thinking of the officers of the church, we think of elders and deacons. And then whenever we think of the role of the elder, first and foremost, we think of one who is called to feed the flock of God or to disciple the flock of God. Now, next Lord's Day, God willing, we'll move on to some other roles of the elder. He's also called to direct the flock, at times to discipline the flock, and then to show devotion to the flock. But we'll come back next Lord's Day and we'll finish our study there. And we trust that the Lord will bless this simple word to all of our hearts, and that the Lord will give us counsel and put men upon our hearts that are apt to feed and have a desire to teach and see God's people discipled and God's people taught. We'll turn, please, to number 440 for our closing hymn. Number 440. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. Let's stand together as we sing number 440. Let's sing heartily. And we trust that we all, as God's people, this preacher included, have a desire to be taught, and that the Lord will give us teachable spirits that we might become effective followers, pupils, and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. 440, and we'll stand together as we worship. 440.